is I'm going to, we're going to talk about pulling down strongholds some more, because that's where the devil seems to have such a hold over everybody. You see, in Christianity, we have power. We have a lot of power, more power than you can ever even think of. The problem is many Christians never use the power that they have. In the deliverance ministry, James mentioned that they cast devils out, but then as soon as they did, they filled him with the word. And that is the secret, is Jesus and the word. And so as you are working with the Lord, always fill yourself with the word. But more than that, use the word in your life. You speak the word. You speak the word over yourself. You speak the word over your family. As James mentioned, his son being out on the street, and he's standing in the gap for him. We have promises as Christians. And I remember when I got saved, one of the, many of the promises, but for my family, because that's where our hearts are, is in our family. Please come into the kingdom of God. And I remember hearing teachings on the blessings and the curses, and how the curses, the unbeliever. Christians, we walk under the blessings of Abraham. And of course, Jesus is the fulfillment of the curse over our lives. And just as generational curses come down on families, the blessings come down on families too. And you see the situation in the American church is there's not a lot of teaching going on. There's a lot of activity going on in many of the churches. But to learn to walk with Jesus, they're not teaching that. But when you have a promise, as we all do, that the blessings of Abraham are going to come down upon us, and I believe they do. In Galatians, the Bible says, cursed is he that hangeth on the tree, for we have been redeemed from the curse of the law. That means Jesus took the curses for you. And you see, whenever you become a believer, you stand up and say, okay, the curse stops here. I am the solution for my family. Because of what I did, my family's going to get the benefit for that. Because as the curses come down four generations, up to 10 generations, I believe that the blessings come down also. You see, my conversion came from my grandmother. And so you don't have to fear. Just know that you stand in the gap, you do spiritual warfare, you bind the devils from attacking them. You bind the devils from taking their lives or crippling them and that sort of thing. And you build the fire of the Holy Ghost around them, and you cover them with the blood, and then you put them in the hands of Jesus. And you just walk with the comfort of knowing that if God got a hold of you, he can get a hold of your children. Amen? And I really do believe that and teach that. So we want to talk a little bit about pulling down strongholds today and the power, your spiritual power. A lot of Christians have been taught in America to depend on prayer lines and people and things like that. And it's God gives you ministers. He gives you teachers. But at the same time, he wants to build you up so that you can do things too. Amen? And so if you got your Bibles today, turn to Isaiah. And we're going into Isaiah 40, verse 29. And the Bible says, "He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run, and they shall not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." Scriptures are important to our lives because they teach us about God, but they teach us how to walk with God. And in this particular scripture, what God wants to get across to you is, you may not feel that you are a spiritual giant, but when you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, it puts you in an entirely different position than you've ever been in before. It puts you in the position that makes you and God a majority. And that's important for you to know. Always, you and God make a majority. All of the devils in the world cannot stand against your God. You have more power than all of the devils in the world. You just don't realize that, but it's true. So the secret in that power is learning to use it, learning about it, and then walking in it. And of course, we walk with our Lord Jesus Christ, and we put him at the forefront of everything that we do. He's our life. He's our cause. He's the general, the commander of our army. And the devil can never win as long as you understand that your authority and your power is sufficient, and it's overcoming every situation that you're facing. Many Christians don't realize that. We walk down bumpy avenues. The devil gets us here, and oh, we fell there, and we fell down there. We missed it there. But I believe that Christians can actually walk with God as Old Testament saints did, as the prophets did. One man can save a kingdom. One woman can go to the front lines and destroy the enemy. You see, your God is an overcoming God, and he wants you to understand that. Even looking at the things that some of our people in our families do that are not born again, sometimes you have to walk it through and understand that God sees that. He knows where your son is. He knows where your daughter is. But he also knows that he can reach him when you can't. What he wants from you is prayer and faith. But what he wants also is for you to understand that if he got you, he can reach out and get them. And in terms of that particular situation, we all have to walk through it. I've been in the ministry 35 years, and I still walk for my family to find God. They see me serving God. They see differences in my life. They know that what I have is real. They've seen God move tremendously throughout different people in my life, in my family. I've had people within my family, raised from the dead, right out of the intensive care room. I remember my brother-in-law, when I was called, he had a heart attack. And when we walked into the intensive care room, he had died. I walked over. There was no life. And what I did is I put my hand upon him, and I called his spirit to come back into his vessel. And I asked God to spare him. And you know what he said when he came back? He said, "Don't let me go." He said, "I'm not ready to go. Tell Jesus to give me some more time." And see, that's what people want at the end of their life. When their life is over, they want more time. But the best thing is, while you've got time, to be able to walk with God in victory, and to be able to know Him personally, to be able to tear down strongholds, and when needed, that you will be the leader in your family. And surely, as there is a God, that time will come for you too. My brother lived and survived that heart attack. My sister survived two aneurysms in her brain. My sister, you know, there's nine of us, so another sister, she survived a tumor in her brain. My brother survived a heart attack. My other brother survived a spot on the lung. When you get a spot on the lung, usually you have about 3 to 6 months. You know that. He survived that. And I have another one that many, many years ago survived syphilis. She's still alive. No traces of anything like that in her. God can do anything. But He wants your faith build so that you can know that. If you're in the ministry, you have to have faith for other people. But at the same time, you have to have faith for yourself. Because, you see, when you pray for someone, for instance, for healing or a miracle, you don't feel the pain that they're in. You don't cringe because your body is racked with pain. So you can boldly step forth and pray for miracles and see God do all kinds of miracles. It's when it happens to you that you have to gain faith in your life so that you can walk out of whatever's going on for you. You cannot be a minister and not know these things. I remember many years ago there was a Baptist minister that got spirit-filled in Jacksonville, Florida. There used to be 600-700 people come to his church on Saturday night because he had miracle services. And back in those days, we're talking the 70s, people didn't know about the miracle God as much as they could know today. So they would pack in and he would pray for them. And people got all kinds of wonderful miracles. But then what happened to him was he got a brain tumor. And you know, he died. He didn't walk out of it. There were no teachers to teach you how to walk out of those things for yourself back then. He was a pioneer in the healing ministry. And sometimes you have casualties with people that are pioneers. And so I remember the first time that I went to a woman's house. She was a little black lady, and she had the final stages of cancer. She was laying in her bed. And I went and stood by her bedside. I was a young Christian at the time, but was experiencing all kinds of miracles in my ministry. And as I was standing there, I felt a force rise up off of the bed, and it came on me. And I had to stop praying for her and take authority what was attacking me. And I took authority and bound it up, and instantly I was able to completely pray for her. So ministry is forging forth, but it's also learning spiritual warfare, and it's learning how to protect yourself, to protect your marriage, to be able to walk in victory. And I believe all Christians can walk in victory. I believe that they may have to have some teaching to do that, some biblical understanding to be able to do that. But I believe that our God is sufficient for each and every one of us. And if you begin to read the book of Acts and you see the disciples forging forth, you have to see the signs of their ministries, but you have to see what was going on for them. Here's a little group of men that just saw their leader die on the cross. They saw their leader resurrect from the grave. They saw their leader stand on a mountainside and ascend into heaven. And the Bible says that 500 people saw him do that. And so they were full of faith that Jesus was truly who he said he was. They saw the graves open up in their cities and the people come out of those graves and appear to many people. They saw supernatural signs and wonders coming from the Savior's ministry. They sat at his feet and they were taught for 3.5 years. They saw all sorts of miracles happen, the dead raised. And so when the time came that they were scattered into the world, they went into a pagan world, a world full of homosexuality, a world full of sin of all natures, a world full of sorcery, a world full of all kinds of darkness, of goddess worship, demonic powers ruling over areas, and they walked out into the darkness, but they walked out with the light of God on their life. And Jesus was the center of their life. He was the center of their message. And we see a person like Paul coming into a place called Mars Hill. And when he walked up into the temple, he saw every manner of god and goddess on the earth. All kinds of statues, people in there worshiping stones and worshiping false gods. And the Bible showed that Paul's heart was stirred inside of him. And the Bible showed that he had such a burden for that city because they were worshiping the wrong God, and he knew it. And the Bible shows us that Paul, he wept for that city. And as he wept for the city, God gave him a message for the city. He saw nestled among all of those gods a statue to a god called the unknown God. And he stood before the crowd and he pointed them to the unknown God, which was the God that was in his heart. He preached Jesus Christ to heathens, to people deeply steeped into witchcraft, all manner of darkness. Now, friends, whenever the light comes, the Bible says that darkness will disperse the light. And so that's why you have to preach the Word of God. You have to get your Bibles out, and you have to confess the Word over your life on a daily basis. You have to bring scriptures to your memory so that the scripture is your dependency, because the Word of God is alive. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And the Bible says that it goes beyond your mind, beyond your flesh, even right down into your bones, into your spirit. It's alive. It becomes a part of you. And it's life. And the Word of God, coupled with your faith, you can overcome all things. There's nothing that the devil can do to you that you cannot overcome if you know your God. Amen? Amen? And so we have to begin to get up in America and begin to walk as the church has in the past. The church is not walking right today. Pastors are preaching out of funny Bibles. If you're preaching or looking and reading Bibles that are not the King James Version, throw them away. They're not the Word of God. No matter what anybody tells you, they're not the Word of God. God's having me to preach this to the city, on my television, on the internet, because those Bibles have taken over our country and our church. And the message that he showed me was, there's darkness in the church. Just as when they took the prayer out of the school systems, the devils moved in. When they took the Bible out of the churches, the devils moved in. The New King James Version is not the Word of God. It's somebody's interpretation of the Word of God. And some of those places in that Bible have taken out pertinent information concerning who Jesus is, his power, his anointing, his deity. And I've seen people just shrivel up spiritually like a plant that has no water because they're reading the wrong word. And people will say to you, but you know, I can understand that. I can't understand the King James Version. I can tell you what you can do. Get a good heavy dose of the Holy Ghost and you'll understand it. He teaches you all things and leads you into all truth. Amen? And if you don't understand it, I remember when I ran for the state legislature, I wasn't a Christian. And my brother gave me a King James Version of the Bible. And I used to carry it around with me. It got me votes back in those days. And this woman came up to me and she says, my granny's going to vote for you because you're a Christian. And I hadn't been to church since I was a child. And so the point being is, I opened that book up. I looked at it. It looked like chickens had walked on a page. I could not understand one word. It was a different message to an unbeliever than a believer. So I tell you this because of the fact that we must get back to the basics of our faith if we're going to become overcomers. And the basics of our faith is the number one thing. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is the most powerful spirit in the universe. He gives us power. The Bible says, to us who believe, he gives us his power. Now, he has not faded away. He's not dead. He's sitting on the right hand of God the Father. The Bible says, making intercession for you and me. And whenever we get on our knees and begin to pray, the Bible says that he is the greatest intercessor of the universe. And so what the Bible's telling us is that when you pray, Ephesians chapter 2 says that we are sitting in heavenly places with him. You're already there. You don't have to die to go be with Jesus. You're sitting in heavenly places with him at the throne of God. That makes your power powerful. Amen? And so the Bible shows us that as we are sitting in heavenly places praying, we have spiritual weapons. And the number one spiritual weapon that you have is the Word of God. You speak the Word of God. You speak the Word of God. As Brother James said, they cast the spirits out and then they filled me with the Word and I got free. Speak the Word of God over yourself every day. Speak it out loud, whether you're in a group or whether you're by yourself. Just speak the Word of God. If you have it on CD, play it over you day and night. Day and night. Brother Kirk says that he's really gotten a lot of help since he started playing the Word of God over himself. Day and night. Because you know why? The Bible says that the Word of God renews your mind. So before you became a Christian, you had an unregenerated mind. Your thoughts were your thoughts, and your thoughts were the devil's thoughts. Now you can replace that with your thoughts and God's thoughts, walking in agreement. It's very powerful. When Jesus comes back, the Bible says that his saints will come back on horses, and we're riding behind the Lord. And the Bible says that he will speak with a double-edged sword. Now, if you know anything about the scripture, the word is called the sword. So Jesus will defeat the Antichrist, Abaddon, the false prophet at Armageddon by just speaking the Word of God. And that Word of God is a double-edged sword. That word that he speaks will be a word of judgment to the devil and his people. And it will be a word of life to his people, Jesus. The Jew will look at Jesus, and Zechariah says that he will weep. He will weep like a mother that's lost their child. They will recognize him. When his foot touches the mountain and the mountain splits, the whole earth will tremble in terror. Just as the lights went out with earthquakes and it was dark when he died, the light will come back into the world and light up the whole world. Judgment will come, but at the same time, his mercy. Jesus is coming back soon. He's coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle, and he's coming back for a people that are looking for him. A people that love him. He's not telling you that you have to be perfect. None of us are. But he's telling you that you have to follow him. You have to keep his blood covering over you. You have to be dependent on him so that as you walk dependent on him, his glory will be reflected in your being, in your personality, through your mind, through your presence. Jesus says that one of the main weapons that we must have is the Word of God. So you can kind of see why the church has gotten so defeated. They're not preaching the Word. Many of them left the Word. Many of them preaching things, but it's not with power and with the anointing. I mean, I don't know very many that can walk in and raise somebody on the intensive care from the dead. I've seen 5 people raised from the dead. Many people out of the intensive care over the years of my ministry. God is powerful. And He wants you to be powerful. So, Brother James, just keep your eyes on Jesus. Just keep speaking the Word. And tonight, we're going to pray with you for your son. And we're going to believe that God will bring him home soon. Amen. God bless you. Did this help you at all?